So the Seahawks are playing right now, and you guys are hardcore to be here while the Seahawks are playing their first game in the playoff. I have no idea how the game is going. I don't intend to find out until the end of this service, and so don't tell me. I want to put God first, right? So I don't know if you know. I'm sure you do, but I don't know how often you check it. But we do have a website. And it's actually a pretty good resource for yourself and also for your friends and so on. And so can we show the website on there? If you go to the other page, you might have to exit out of or on-air it. And so we can kind of show them what our website looks like. And so, but anyway, all of our sermons are recorded every week. And so if you have missed something and you didn't quite understand and you want to re-listen to it, then you can certainly go there and re-listen to all the sermons. And so, yes, we love the Seahawks, but we love God more. And if you go to the sermon tab here, and if you want to see my face and Pastor LD's face, it's there too. And then sermons, I just uploaded actually last night, so everything should be all kind of updated. And so the sermons, you can just click on it, and you will see that there are icons. So the whole manuscript is on there as well. And then there's a PDF file that you can download, and that one also has a Korean translation for our Korean brothers and sisters. And if you want to give it to somebody or if you want to reread it, you can actually go on there and then download it. It's the same paper that you are receiving as you're coming in. So all of that is there. And then also, we have the devotionals, daily devotionals that Pastor LD and I put out, give to you via email. That's also being updated. And, you know, to be honest, we're not very good at updating every week. We may be like a month behind when it comes to messages or maybe a couple of weeks and so on. If you are tech savvy, you like doing stuff with websites, Facebook and so on, and you want to take on this task and do this for the Lord, let me know. There will be another hat that I can hand over to somebody else that might be actually better than me in keeping up with our website. But believe it or not, some people actually do find our church and do come to our church through websites. A lot of military personnel, for example, when they come here, when they're stationed here, they're going to look for a church, and then they're going to check out a church based purely on the website. And so this is a good tool for you to let people know around you and give them a little taste of what our church is like, you know, maybe listen to a sample message and so on. And so please use that. And we also have a Facebook with the same name as well. So please do utilize all the tools that are there for you, okay? So let us pray, and we'll get into the Word of God. Father, thank you so much again for this beautiful, sunny, rare Sunday morning where we can gather together and worship you. So many people are worshiping football at this moment, and that is good because you are the one who created the brains that created football, and I do believe that we might possibly play football when we go to heaven. Why not? But Lord, we know that you are greater. We want to worship the Creator and not creation. And so thank you so much for giving us the desire to be here and put first things first. We love you, and I pray that you will speak to us through your word. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. As we are beginning a new year last week, I suggest that we begin with the end. Since we know that we will one day give an account to God, it would be smart for us to know what we have to give an account for and then focus on those things. Rather than giving equal weight to everything, we said the smart students will know what's going to be or try to predict what's going to be on the test and focus on those things. And so it behooves us for us to know what those things are, what we have to give an account for in the end, and start with those things. And so last week we talked about how we received the Word of God, because one day we'll have to give an account of what we have done with God's grace that was given to us. And I gave you that in the way of four soils, and our faith is represented by what the soils did with the seeds, and there were four different kind of soils, and so we can respond in different ways to God's grace, which comes through the Word of God, and that determines how we'll be rewarded in the end. And so responding to the Word of God, not just reading it, not just hearing it, but meditating upon it, trying to apply it, understanding it, so that eventually fruit comes out of it, good works come out of that, and God will look at that and go, genuine faith, good soil, and we will be rewarded for that. And so I was ecstatic to hear that our youth have taken on that challenge, and I think they got that really message at the retreat, and they're taking that Bible reading chart, and I heard the boys and girls, you know, talking about that 2 days ago on Friday night meeting, and they were talking about what they've been reading and what they've been getting out of it. So that's awesome. And so I pray that the rest of us, you know, the adults and or even the younger people can get in on that and really get into to the Word of God. All right. So today, as a second message of the new series, beginning from the end, I want us to consider the big picture. Simply answering the question, why are we here? What is the big purpose? What is the end goal or the reason why God created us in the first place? And I want to apologize to the youth because it's basically the exact same message I preached on Friday night, except I'm redressing it and putting a little more flesh to it. Okay, but here's how it goes. I don't know about you, but I used to be an engineer. And I used to ask a lot of why questions or how questions. How does this work? Why is this here? Why is that there? And so as a youngster, I was one of those annoying ones that kept on asking the why question to the parents. Why is this? Why is that? Why? Right? And I remember one day my mom just getting tired of me and saying, stop asking me why. To which I'm sure I asked, why are you asking me to stop asking why, mommy? Just driving up the walls. And so I like asking the question why. And so when it comes to faith, I also like to asking why questions. So why are we here? When I became a teenager, that was a big question because now you're thinking existentially. You kind of know that there's got to be more to life than simply playing games and going to school. So what is a reason for our existence? Why are we here? What is the grand purpose? Now, I realized early on that purpose presupposes intelligence and prior planning. In other words, because back then I was struggling with, well, is God real? Does he really exist? And if he does not exist, then this question of purpose could not be answered. I realized that early on. Why? Again, purpose presupposes that somebody planned this. The reason why we are here is because of something, and there is a reason or rationale behind somebody's existence. However, if there was no God, there is no such thing. There is no purpose. There is no meaning because there's nothing beyond this natural world. I knew that early on. And so if you were to ask an unbeliever, a person who does not believe in a God, well, what would you say is a purpose of life? What would you say is a meaning of life? If they're perfectly honest with you, then they have to say, there is no meaning. There is no purpose because there was nothing or there was no rationale that caused this earth or you and I to exist. There was no pre-existing thing that thought that this would be a good idea for us to exist. There is no such thing. So the dishonest ones or not as honest ones will tell you, well, if you were to ask them, I know that there is no God, but there is purpose, there is meaning to life, and meaning is what you make of it. You have to create your own purpose. But if you really probe further on, then they will admit to you that there is no ultimate objective purpose. There's no ultimate objective meaning to life, and that's why you have to manufacture one, and that makes perfect sense if there is no God. However, if there is God, then, and he's an intelligent being, he's a rational being, that means before he created the world, before he created you and me, before he put us in our mother's womb, there was a reason. There was a purpose behind it. And we ought to know what that purpose is. As we are reading the scripture, it helps if we know, why am I reading this? What am I really trying to get it? As you are working at your job, what am I really doing this for? as you're raising your kids, why am I doing this? Okay, everything goes back to that ultimate purpose, right? Ultimate question of why are we here? So, why are we here? Let me tell you. The Westminster Catechism, and this is 400 years old or 500 years old, old document. It's a question and answer type of thing that taught the early Christians. It says this, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In today's plain English, that means we are made to glorify God and to enjoy him. We are made, we are created. You and I are put on earth to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So what does that mean? What does it mean to glorify God? It simply means to praise him, worship him, appreciate him, adore him. In one word, make much of God. Make him look good. Make him famous. That's why we are created. That's why we are placed here on earth. Not just us, but unbelievers. All 7 billion of us are created so that we may glorify God, make God look good, and enjoy doing that. Now, is that biblical? Absolutely. By the way, you shouldn't believe anything I say unless it's in the Bible. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that, and here's a reason, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So whatever we are doing, we are to do it in order to glorify God through Jesus Christ, because that is the ultimate purpose for which we were created. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. So that is our purpose. That is not just our ultimate objective end goal, but that should be a purpose. That should be the purpose for every little thing that we do, whether we eat or drink. The Bible literally says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We are to do everything in order to make God look good, in order to make much of him, so that people's attention will be drawn to God and not to anything else. And we ought to enjoy doing that. And that's why you and I are created. So when we are eating, I don't know what we are eating today, hot dogs and chips or some pasta or Dara made some things, I'm sure. As we are doing that, we are to enjoy those things as we glorify God. That is a purpose. Many of us are checking the Seahawks score right now, or we will be going home quickly to watch football, right? We are to watch football to the glory of God in order to make God look good, right? And to enjoy doing that. Now, how do we do that? We'll talk more about that. This means that when we go to Starbucks after service, and I'm sure some of us will do that, as we are drinking that hot white chocolate Americano, we are to sip on it in order to glorify God, okay? That doesn't mean that we stand there in front of everyone in that busy Starbucks and say, this coffee came from God. This was God's idea. God is better than this chocolate white mocha. God is awesome. God is good. So all of you, praise God. Stand up. That does not, okay, I'm not sure if that would glorify God. Right, necessarily, because they might think, okay, whoa, that's weird, right? If he's a child of God, I mean, God must be even more weird than that dude, and so I'm not sure that would glorify God. Well, how do you glorify God? Drinking white chocolate Americano. As you're drinking it, it's good. This is so good. Chocolate, where did it come from? Wow, chocolate tree, right? Where did coffee come from? Who made it? God created it. Wow, God gave us the brain to somehow harvest coffee and somehow simmer it and make liquid out of it. And God gave me taste buds in order to feel the pleasure. If God gave me this kind of pleasure and I'm feeling that in a simple thing like a cup of coffee, how much greater the originator, the creator of that coffee must be. Now you're giving glory to God, right? So we are to give glory unto God, even in the little things that we do, and that's why we are created. But here's a big question, and what is a big question? Why? Why should we glorify God? I mean, God, did God really create us human beings so that all day long we will say to God, God, you're great, God, you're awesome, God, you're best, right? Kind of like the minions in the movie, Despicable Me, you know, to Guru, you're great, you're awesome, yay, God, right? We suck, but you rule. It's all about you. Is that why God created us, really? So a whole bunch of minions, 7 billion of us will just run around and, you're great, it's all about you, yay, God, we're nothing. It makes you ponder, and it's a real issue. I've been told that Brad Pitt, he grew up in an evangelical church, and he rejected God for that reason, because he felt like God was this old school, you know, marm, you know, who is all about her. It's all about me. You come praise me. It's not about you. It's about me. And he couldn't stand it. I heard Oprah Winfrey, for example, did the same thing. She walked away from the faith for that reason, because God made it sound like it's all about him. So it's a real issue, right? Listen, let me say this. God does not need for us to glorify him. God does not need anything. God does not need us. God did not create us because he was lonely by himself in the universe, and he thought, you know, if I created people, then maybe I won't be so lonely, and so he created us. No. God had, from the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son was not created all of a sudden 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. No. God the Son was always there. Trinity, perfect, unity, union, love, relationship, always there. And that's why the Bible says God is love, and he has always been so. Because there was always God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to love. I don't know how Allah is always God the merciful. I mean, who was he merciful to before he created people? So his mercifulness is dependent upon people. But our God, Christian God, does not depend on us. God did not create us so that somehow he needed something in him and he created us to meet that need. No, he is perfect. He doesn't need us to glorify him. But why is he commanding us then to glorify him? Not for his sake, but for our sake. We need to glorify him for our sake in order for us to receive the maximum happiness. We glorify him. That is the ultimate purpose, and that is the ultimate reason why God is having us or even commanding us to glorify him. How is that? How does that work? How is glorifying someone else going to make us happy? Because you're thinking in your head, but that doesn't make me happy. I want it to be about me. I want to be glorified. I want to be made much of. I want to be famous. I want people to be a sycophant to me and not to God, right? I mean, isn't that why shows like American Idol, which is on the last season, The Voice, and America's Got Talent, and all these other shows are popular? Why? Because all these young people, they want to go out there and they want to be a star. And they want to have, instead of having 100 followers or on their Instagram or what have you, they want to have 1 million followers. Because why? Because the more followers you have and more people say, you're great, you're awesome, you're beautiful, and your voice is so lovely, blah, 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 they feel better. And so they go on these shows thinking that if I become a star, if all the attention is drawn to me, then I'll be happier. True or false? The old people say false. Younger people say, true, right? Let's think about that. You know, sometimes what's true on the surface is, if you go a little bit deeper into it, you realize that it's not true. Satan works that way. So think about it just a little bit, right? Think about the people that have everything that you ever want: beauty, money, fame, all right? So for the older generation, do you know how the lives of Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley ended? Yeah. Either committed suicide or drug overuse. Beautiful, money, fame, had it all. And those of us who are my generation, we're familiar with people like Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Robin Williams, had it all. Why is it that they would get into those things, drugs, in the first place? There must be something in them that thought, you know, I thought I would be happy if I had the world's attention, which they did. I had the money. I had power. But why does it feel so empty? And so they turned to something else for pleasure. And their lives ended tragically. A little bit younger, 20-somethings. You remember Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera? Right? They're not dead yet. But think about like how weird they're turning. Why are they doing that? Like, what's gotten into them? Right? And even younger generation, older teens, Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus. And what's going on with them? I mean, when they came on the scene, I mean, they were so pristine, clean. Hannah Montana, remember that? You know, so cute, and Justin Bieber too. And now it's like they're turning weird. Why are they doing what they're doing? Same syndrome happening over and over, just simply to different generations. Right? Examples for every generation of the stars whom the world bowed down, and yet their lives were so empty and miserable that it made them do weird things before it ended tragically. So it is not true that when we make everything about us, that we'll be happy. A simple example, think about a bratty child who's given 20 gifts on Christmas morning. And just because he can't have chocolate syrup on his ice cream, he's throwing a fit. Familiar to you? He has everything he wants, and yet he is the most miserable person there is. And so parents, grandparents, key to making our children is not by giving them everything they want. Actually, you're giving them poison. The more you do that, the more they expect that. And then eventually, they will at first consume everything around them, and eventually they will start consuming themselves. They will be eating away at their souls. That's not the way to happiness. I see Hux must have scored. Yay, go. That's not the way to happiness. But true happiness comes not from having ourselves praised, but having the ultimate goodness praised, glorified, which is God. I still don't get that. Okay, how do I make that connection, Pastor? So let me help you. C.S. Lewis made that connection years ago. He wrote in his book, Reflections on the Psalms, he wrote this. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, Romeo praising Juliet and vice versa, for example. Readers, their favorite poet. Walkers praising the countryside. Players praising their favorite game. And I might add, this is me, Washingtonians praising the Seahawks. Star Wars fans going gaga over the latest installment of the movie. 18-year-old girl still crushing over Justin Bieber, which is sad, but true. And then C.S. Lewis continues on. He said, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. Praise, the reason why we praise these things, whether it's Seahawks or whether it's a beautiful girl or a movie or what have you, is because not merely it expresses it but because it completes our enjoyment. What does it mean? It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not be able to tell anyone how good he is. To come suddenly at the turn of the road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur and then to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than for a tin can in the ditch. To hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. So let me illustrate it, all right? Imagine today when the Seahawks are playing right now, right? Russell Wilson, right? He has the ball, right? And he has a ball and he drops back to throw the ball. But the offensive linemen, they're all around. Linebackers are coming after him. And so he does what he does, right? He scrambles out of it like crazy. Left, right, he's zooking. You know, linebackers left and right, crosses them over. And then he goes to the sideline running full speed. And you think he's going to make a touchdown, but he doesn't. He just whips the ball 50 yards to the cross-routing Jermaine Kearse, and then he just catches the ball at the end zone as he tiptoes out of bounds with 2 seconds left on the clock, and we win the game. If you're watching this at home on TV, what do? You get up on your seat, that's right. Woo-hoo! Yes, yes, did you see that? Did you see that? Oh my goodness, Russell was, he is the man. But you're watching this all by yourself. There's nobody around. What do? Where's my phone? Right? Where's my phone? Okay, let me text my friends, right? Let me text my buddies. I'm going to tweet this, right? I'm going to put it on YouTube. You know, I'm going to record it, put it on there. And what are you expecting? What are you wanting for people to do? Yes, I saw that. Yes, oh my goodness. Go Seahawks, right? Go Russell Wilson. And as you're, why do you do that? Why are you expressing? And why do you want other people to match your enjoyment? Because it completes your enjoyment. If nobody responds back, and if there is no one around you to express those enjoyment, guess what? You get frustrated. I gotta tell somebody, right? I gotta wait a whole day until I get to work to tell people, and so that we can have this enjoyment. No. You want it right then and there, and we do that because it completes our enjoyment. Let me ask you, those of you who actually have gone to the Seahawks game or a big concert or what have you, why do you go to the game? The last time I checked, it's upwards of $100, $200 per ticket. And usually you get a nosebleed seat. You have the best seat in front of your TV. You get the live, the instant replay and the warmth of your house. Why do you go to the game? You have the worst view. You got to fight the elements. And you can't even see the players, right? Because you're so far off the field. Why do you go? You know why? Because there are 60,000 other people in that stadium crying out for the same thing, shouting, and you are high-fiving a total stranger and hugging and kissing, right? A person that you have never met and you will never meet ever again. Why do you do that? Because it gives you such enjoyment to express what you enjoy, right? Guess what? That's a worship experience. We are worshiping. We're praising. High-fiving one another, right? So imagine if football is that good. I don't think it's really that great. Who cares if we win this year? Somebody else will win next year and the year after that over and over and over. So it's just... But God is the one who created, who gave us brains to create such a game as football. God is the one who created all the muscles and sinews on Russell Wilson's knee and hand and fingers, right? God is a creator of all good things, all good and all good gifts comes from the Lord, including football, right? So if we can have that kind of enjoyment in movies, in music, or in sports, or what have you, then how much more enjoyment can we have in the God who created all those things to give us a glimpse of how good and awesome he is? And so the ultimate maximum happiness and enjoyment comes as we are praising, worshiping this God with one another. And that is why God told us, commanded us to glorify him, not so that he will feel good about himself, no, so that we will get the maximum joy. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. But the problem is that most of us do not see God that way, do we? He is not this ecstatic, ecstasy-inducing being who is the source of all good things. We just do not make that connection, do we? Adele has sold more albums, I think, on the last one than anybody else. She's got a beautiful voice. There's no doubt about that. Ton of talent. And, sometimes I check it out on YouTube and all these people making comments how great she is. But I don't know why nobody's attributing it to God. What has Adele done to have that kind of voice? Oh, she practiced, I'm sure, but really, if she wasn't born with it, do you think all the practice will make a difference? Came from God. God is the one who put that voice in there. Why is nobody praising God for that? Stephen Curry, you know, we all like him because he's normal average height. He's not, by the way. He's 6'3". He's 3 inches taller than me, and I'm pretty tall. But, you know, he can make those threes, right? And he must have practiced a lot, maybe 1,000 shots every day. But do you think if that talent wasn't there in the beginning, all that practice will make a difference? It does not. It is a lie for somebody to tell you that you can dream yourself to be anything. That you think, you know, you're 6 feet tall and you don't have the coordination that Stephen Curry has and make 2,000 shots every day, you can shoot like him? Try it. You can't. You have to have talent. Who put that talent there? God did. But he worked hard. But what made him work hard? Have you ever thought about that? Why do some children get into things? Do you know why? Because that talent is there. People around them praise them for it. Oh, you're such a good reader. You can already read at first grade. And then they feel great about it and they read more. They want to try more because people are telling them. But what created that? What started it? It was their talent. But who to put the talent there? God did. Right? Everything goes back to God. He's the one who put all those good things that we enjoy. We ought to be glorifying him because he is ultimately the source of all good things. But unfortunately, we can only glorify God analogically in that way. When we see great things, beautiful things, we go, oh, God. But we rarely do that directly to God. Why not? How can we do it more importantly? How can we see God as he truly is, the most beautiful, pleasurable, wonderful being there is? Three things. First of all, turn off the extraneous lights. Every night, there are beautiful stars outside. Why can't we see it? Because of all the street lights. You can see the stars when we go to the countryside and there are no other extraneous lights. Once we turn off the lights, you can see all the beauty and glory of the heavens. We need to do that sometimes in our lives. We need to turn off some of the lights that are covering our vision of how great and grandeur God is. That may be, for some of you, food. You live from meal to meal. For some of you, it's certain your favorite website. You go on there and go into a rabbit trail forever, right? It might be, for some of you, YouTube, watching it, you know, constantly. Over and over. Now, for some of you, it's shopping. There may not be anything wrong with these things, but because they are covering the glory of God, blocking, you can't see him clearly. So we're still on the very first half of the first month of the year. Why not try fasting? Maybe from food, but maybe from certain internet websites, or maybe from certain apps on your phone, or certain habits that really do not add anything to your relationship with God and that are simply clouding your vision of God. So I promise myself, for example, for the month of January, I'm fasting from food every Tuesday until dinner time, so for two meals, to give myself more time to pray during those meal times and meditate. And I'm also fasting from certain gadget sites, and you know about me and my gadgets, right, that I tend to spend enormous time on so that my mind is more clear, decluttered, so that I can focus more on God. Another thing, silence and solitude. Practice that. Turn off the music on the way to work and use that time to pray. For me, my commute is 25 minutes on the way to school from Puyallup. I used to listen to messages or even music. I would just turn it off. And I pretend that Jesus is sitting right next to me and I'm having a conversation with him. Or I'm just being silent. I'm just being silent, practicing it. And I can't tell you, even just that little thing clears my mind. That it's giving me a taste back for God rather than constantly and restlessly following after the things of the world, even though they may not be bad in and of themselves. If you're ever waiting, such a place as a checkout stand at Costco the other day. There was a long line, and I knew I had to wait 15 minutes or so. Rather than reaching into my pocket for a phone, right? Okay, I'm just going to doodle, whatever. I'm just going to, stand there, right? Meditate on what I read this morning. Or just praying, and I'm just waiting. Silence and solitude. So turn off the extraneous lights. Number two, train yourself to be godly. 2 Timothy 4:7, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, so it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So how many of you have made a New Year's resolution that you're going to lose 10 pounds, or you're going to go hit the Y at least, twice or three times every week, right? That is good. That's good. You should take care of your body, but at most, you will maybe extend your life for maybe 5 years, right? Or if you get into a car accident, all of that didn't matter, right? You die, whether you're in shape or not. But spiritual exercise, okay? Spiritual exercise will do your eternal soul good. So what does that mean? Bible intake, we need to eat the pure milk of God, and we have already talked about that, so I'm not going to beat that horse to death, right? But just discipline yourself. I'm going to read one chapter every day, no matter how hard it is. Just discipline yourself. Take the Bible chart we're giving you and see if you can follow it. You don't have to read the whole thing in 1 year. Actually, it's taken me 3 years to read just once because I'm going through very, very slowly. But the most important thing is consistency. And then prayer that will align our heart with God to feel His joy more. One way to pray is to recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. But not simply reciting it, but going phrase by phrase and putting your own words to it. Our Father. Oh, He's my Father. Oh, it's our, as in it's not just my Father, but it's our church's Father. I need to take care of one another, but He's my Father. He is good. He protects me. God, I thank you. Right? Who art in heaven, hallowed be. Oh, it's about God, not about me. On and on. You can use that simply to recite it and then put in your own words to pray to God. Okay, train yourself to be godly. And lastly, persevere, as in don't quit. Keep doing it. Middle of January, or it's already middle of January, you won't want to quit, but keep going. Keep on keeping on, because it takes a while for you to bear any kind of fruit once you sow the seed. It doesn't come out the next day. It takes a while, but keep on keeping on in your spiritual discipline until your vision, the cloud covering your vision, gets removed and you can see the glory of God a little more clearly. Let's pray.